Welcome to Meals for Maturity, Bible talks to help you mature as a follower of Jesus, by Pastor Dom Fiocco.
About 50 years ago, a letter was mailed through the US Postal Service. Unfortunately, the address on the envelope was not all that helpful or clear. It simply said on the front of the envelope, God's Man, Minnesota, USA. It was actually a letter written to Billy Graham, the great American evangelist. The sender just didn't have his address, so God's Man, Minnesota was it. Remarkably, the post office sorters decided, hey, that must be a letter for Billy Graham, and so it eventually made it to the gospel preacher. Isn't that incredible? Billy Graham's reputation at the time across the US and especially through the postal service meant that he was known as God's Man. In the last Bible talk, we met a New Testament guy called Barnabas, or Barney, to his friends. In the same way, if you didn't know his address across the New Testament era, you could have just written on the envelope, the Christian Encourager, and whacked a Roman Empire stamp on it, and eventually it would have made it to Barnabas. Such was his reputation, his standard, his character. I wonder if people in your church know you as an encourager. Could that go on the envelope addressed to you? And if not, why not? If not, why not ask God to help us be people of encouragement? Welcome to the third Bible talk on the encouraging theme of encouragement, breath from heaven. Today I want to explore the very heart or wellspring of why we can even think about encouragement. That is, I want to explore the gospel of encouragement. If encouragement can be defined as putting courage in to inspire, stimulate, give hope to a person, then the gospel of all grace does that for you and me. May it continue to do that, no matter what you're facing or dealing with this week in life. Not that I'm into 18th century art by German painters called Maurice Retzsch, but maybe you're more cultured than me, and maybe you know his famous painting from 1799, and it was titled Checkmate. The painting has two chess players. One represents Satan sitting on one side of this chessboard. The other is a young man who seems beaten in this game of chess. His face is downcast. Tears are starting to flow, hence the painting's title, Checkmate. It seems the devil has won over the soul of this poor sinner in this game of chess. He has no more moves left, and Satan has him trapped, checkmated. Many years ago, copies of this painting hung in lots of galleries and across many wealthy homes. One day, an American chess champion, Paul Morphy, this was in 1888, by the way, he was visiting a home in Richmond, Virginia, when he spotted the painting on a lounge room wall, and he began to closely study the artwork. This chess champion took a good close look at the game board in the painting, with the chess pieces in their configuration, on their various squares, those no longer on the board, etc. And after a while, he calls out loud to his host, "There is a move. It's not checkmate. There is a move he can make." It turns out that the painter, the artist, was not very good at chess, and this champion chess player could see a move that the poor man in the picture could actually make with his chess pieces, so he would no longer be in checkmate. Do you realize that the gospel message stored in your heart and mind is just like that painting? The cross of Jesus, the death of Jesus, looks like checkmate, and that Satan has won the game. But the chessboard, as it were, only showed the Friday moves. There was still one more move to make, and Sunday was coming. There is a move. It's not checkmate. There is a move God can make. And so we go to Jesus and find that there is one more move we have. We go to Jesus in faith, in trust, in dependence, for God can snatch us out of Satan's grasp, and the gospel can replace the tears of sorrow with tears of joy. The gospel message that Christ dies for our sins in our place, but is risen to new life to bring forgiveness and new life and so much more, this gospel message is the ultimate word of encouragement. This gospel message, that in the death of Jesus, God's holy wrath against my sin has been turned aside, and so I can be called a friend of God, reconciled, restored, renewed. This gospel message is the ultimate word of encouragement. It is a word of truth, a word of life. It's a message that nourishes us and fills us, especially in times of despair, brokenness, fallenness, and suffering. Think about it. The gospel brings encouragement to the faint-hearted, seemingly defeated sinners like you and me. What looks like checkmate for us, this eternal word of encouragement from God breathes life into sinful, broken, downcast hearts. And this gospel of encouragement restores hope, purpose, life. See, the game of life is not over. There is a move still to be made. And if you've been a Christian for a long time or just a short time, do you realize that you never outgrow the need to keep hearing this message of encouragement for your heart, soul, and mind? And so I want to focus on just two aspects of this good news message of encouragement found in the gospel. Yes, there are two things you probably know and you've heard many times over, but still two truths we need to let reverberate across our lives day by day. For the gospel says to us, number one, you are loved by God, and number two, you are known by God. The gospel says you are loved by God and you are known by God. Let's hear Leslie encourage us with the love of God found in the gospel of all encouragement.
Romans 5, verses 6 to 11. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation.
Does it get any clearer and more encouraging than Romans chapter 5, verse 8? But God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Remember earlier in the passage, we're told that someone might die or be prepared to die for a good person. And sometimes we do hear and learn of incredible stories of people sacrificing their lives for their buddies or their family members or even their country. That in itself is a great display of love. But what is truly remarkable, truly encouraging, is that here we're told we are God's enemies, we're sinners turned away from his ways, we're like rebels riding our own path, we're like pirates sailing under our own flag of independence. Yes, when a person sacrifices their life for another, it is a great act of love, no question about that. But it still is one imperfect person dying for imperfect people. Well, here in Romans 5, the encouragement is the perfect God-man dies for imperfect people, sinners who actually hate God in our hearts until his love breaks through. And then we can understand the hymn writer inscribed upon the cross we see in shining letters, God is love. Christian artist Megan Woods puts it brilliantly with the lyric, "The truth is I am truly loved by a God who's good when I'm not good enough." Is there any greater love shown to us than the one who laid down his life for you and me while we were still his enemies? Let the love of God, shown supremely at Jesus' cross and the empty tomb, God's great move on the chessboard, let his love encourage you to keep clinging to him as he never lets you go. The gospel encouragement says to us, number one, you are loved by God. Secondly, you are known by God. Now, there are many places in the Bible, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, that speak to us about being known by God. Perhaps none better than Psalm 139. Let's hear part of this great timeless poem once more.
Psalm 139, verses 1 to 16. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them.
This rich, popular psalm, Psalm 139 of King David, reminds us again and again that God knows you from the moment of your conception. And so the God who formed you inside the womb also knows you outside of the womb. And then the New Testament message is, because of the gospel, we can know God as our gracious Heavenly Father, and we are known by Him. Listen to these great reminders and be encouraged by them from the New Testament. Galatians 4, verse 9. But now that you have come to know God, or rather be known by God. Jesus speaks in John chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and lay down my life for the sheep. And 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 3 makes it nice and clear. Paul writes, but if anyone loves God, he or she is known by God. Maybe you haven't dwelt long enough and deep enough on this refreshing truth. To be known by God because of the gospel means that He knows your name. Do you realize how encouraging that simple truth actually is? At my church, we have the habit of writing everyone a name tag as they arrive, whether it's your first time or 100th time. We like to write your name on a sticky label, and hopefully people stick that label in a prominent place so that we can see it. I mean, some teenagers put it on their knees or their shoulders, which can be a bit tricky to read, but at least they take it and they wear it. But if you're new and you come back again for the second time, we have a number of people on our welcome table who like to make the effort to remember your name as you walk in the door of our church. And so they might say hi to you using your name, which they came to know just the week before. And now, even before they write your name tag, you are greeted by your name. Do you realize how encouraging that is when someone who actually doesn't know you all that well remembers your name? To remember someone's name is very special. In many ways, it's a picture of the gospel message, for God knows your name and He remembers you. American pastor and author Tim Keller, now face to face with his Savior, he once told the story about a time in his life when he was a young pastor just starting out, but he was feeling quite discouraged about future prospects for his ministry. At one time, Tim Keller went to a Bible conference and he heard the great New Testament scholar and commentary writer, Dr. Edmund Clowney, teach the Bible. Dr. Clowney, at the time, was the president of Westminster Seminary, where Tim Keller had previously done some theological study. After one of the conference sessions, Tim Keller went up to the legendary New Testament scholar and introduced himself. Hello, Dr. Clowney. I met you many years ago, but you don't remember me. And immediately he was cut off, with Dr. Clowney replying, "Oh, no, I know you. I remember you." And Tim Keller recounts, "And he named me. He named me. He remembered my name." It was a great spark of encouragement to this young pastor just starting out in ministry to be named and known by this great New Testament professor. How much more to be known and named by the God of this universe, by the God who saves you. Have you ever wondered why sometimes across the Bible, various authors leave us with these big, long lists of names? I don't think it's just to test the public Bible readers in your church and mine to see if they can pronounce many of the names correctly. We all know, don't we? Most of the time, we freak out when we're given one of those passages to read out loud. But in the examples of Nehemiah chapter 3, there are over 80 names mentioned who helped rebuild the walls of Jerusalem after returning from exile. And in 2 Samuel chapter 23, there's a stack of David's mighty men of valor who are listed and named. And then in Romans chapter 16, there are 29 names recorded by Paul right at the end of this letter. I take it to encourage them to keep going in the faith. Plus, how encouraging is it to get your name in the Bible? And then in John's third letter, in verse 15, he writes, "Peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends, each by name." It is a great encouragement in the Christian journey, isn't it? To be greeted and recognized, to be remembered, to be known, to be called by your name. How magnificent for a young teenage girl to be visited by an angel and then greeted with the words, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." How incredible for a little greedy man climbing up a tree to hear the words spoken out loud, "Hey, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." How precious for a woman from Magdalena to hear the resurrected Lord cause her to turn around when he simply says, "Mary." See, it's just a little snapshot of the gospel of all encouragement, that our name, your name, is known by the God who created us, and by the God who then redeems us. And if God knows my name, then he has also made the promise to never leave me nor forsake me. What the gospel of encouragement brings to us is not a distant God who loves everybody at arm's length, a God in theory who loves you, but rather a God in practice, a God in reality who shows us a Saviour bleeding for us, and who engraves your name on the palms of his hands, if Isaiah 49 verse 16 is to be believed. Friends, I don't care who you are, we all need encouragement. We all need kind words to lift us up. I love the story about an American Catholic bishop by the name of Fulton Sheen. This was last century. Fulton Sheen, the Catholic bishop, he walks into a greasy cafe for some breakfast one morning. The waitress there is fairly groggy looking and she seems pretty uninterested in her job. Anyway, the bishop places his order. He says, "Could you please bring me some ham and eggs and a few kind words?" Well, the waitress returns about 15 minutes later, sets the food down before him and simply says, "There." And the bishop looks up and says, "Hey, what about those kind words?" And she looks back at him, thinks for a moment, and then replies, "I'd advise you to not eat them eggs." Well, we can thank God that we have kinder and better words to hear whatever is before you at the breakfast table. For the gospel encouragement, the gospel of encouragement, the gospel of kind words speaks loud and clear to each one of us, no matter what's going on in your life right now. The gospel of encouragement says, there is a move. It's not checkmate. There is a move God can make. And it's a move that says to you, you are loved and you are known. May these two gospel truths bring enough encouragement to your day, no matter what the eggs might look like that are set before you.
Thanks for listening to Meals for Maturity. Keep growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ.